Well, today we're actually going to be wrapping up our little mini-series that we started when we began these online services. I can speak. My wife's a proofreader, and she's constantly correcting me on my language there. I hope that was right. But for the last 6 weeks, when you're doing things live and trying to keep it real, you mess up and you just go on. But for the last 6 weeks, we've found ourselves in a series that I titled Warning, Do Try This at Home. A title that's quite opposite of those warnings that we see on TV shows where they do the dangerous stunts and activities and they put up that disclaimer that says something like, warning, do not try this at home. But this series that we've been in over the past 6 weeks has actually been talking about things that we should be doing at home. Things that we do all the time when we gather together here at church, but they're things that we really should be doing on a regular basis, that should be a regular part of our lives. And so this series is encouraging and challenging us to make these things an everyday part of our lives. And we began 6 weeks ago as we started with the fact that we should be reading our Bibles at home. Because God's Word, it helps guide us and direct us through the challenges and the difficulties of life. And then in the next week, we talked about the fact that we should be praying at home. And that prayer shouldn't be a one-sided thing, because if all we're doing is telling God all of our wants and all of our needs and everything that we think and how it should happen, then we're missing out on His words to us, which help guide us and direct us and give peace and comfort to us in these challenging times. And then the next week we talked about worship and the fact that we were created for worship, that when we worship, it glorifies God, and that we want to glorify God in all that we do, and we want to delight in that process. And then a few weeks ago, we talked about giving and the fact that it's not just about throwing some money in the offering plate as it passes by on Sunday morning, but that giving is really an act of worship, and that we can give in so many different ways. And then finally, last week, we talked about operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, because God has given us His Spirit so that we can be the hope of glory to those around us. And I would encourage you, if you missed any of these messages, that you would go back online and that you would listen to them or watch them, because I think they're powerful messages that God wants to speak to us as a church. You can watch them on our website, you can watch them on our YouTube page or our Facebook page, but I encourage you to do that if you miss them. But today we're going to wrap up our series as we finish with our sixth and final topic, which is simply this: we should be living holy lives at home. You see, this is one of those things that we're real good at when we are at church, right? When we're around other Christians. We put on this happy face, we act like everything is good, we try to be careful about what we say and do, but as soon as we walk out the doors of the church, as soon as we get into our cars or pull out of the driveway, things seem to change. I know I used to be really good at this, especially back in my high school days. My youth pastors, they thought I was this great Christian kid, but if they would have seen how I actually acted sometimes at home, or especially if they would have seen how I acted at school, they would have thought a lot differently about me. As a matter of fact, many of you know that I used to rap back in the days, and I'm not talking about packages. And one of the first raps that I ever wrote and performed in front of a group of people actually talked about this lifestyle. The title of that rap was called Weekend Warrior. It's based off that idea of just serving on the weekends, right? And I'm not going to rap for you this morning, and I'm sure many of you are like, whew, thank goodness, right? But I do want to just read to you the first verse of that rap that I wrote years ago. It said this: the weekend is here and Sunday's the day. You find it easy to worship and pray. You put on a show and you do it so well that not even your pastor can tell. You raise your hands, you pray out loud, you're standing tall, you seem so proud. Everybody thinks that you've got it together, but deep down inside, it's only you that knows better. Your life, it's fiction, just like Tom Sawyer, because you're playing the role of a weekend warrior. Those were the lines to that rap, and the reality is very often the life we portray on Sundays at church is so different than the lives that we actually live at home or at work or at school or wherever we are throughout the week. But the thing is, God's desire is that we would be living holy lives all the time, not just at church. Because God isn't just looking for people with this great exterior. He isn't looking for this people with this facade. He's looking for people that desire to live the lives that He's called us to live, lives that are transformed from the inside out. And the scripture that I want us to look at this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 16. This is what it says. It says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" Now, this scripture, it tells us to be holy. But what does that really mean, right? What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to live holy lives? Well, the word for holy here is this word hagios. And the root meaning of that word means to be different or to be set apart. We're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. So let's take a moment to think about that definition in regards to things that have been referred to as holy in the Bible. So let's look at God. God is holy, right? He is different and set apart from all other things. The temple was holy. It was different from or set apart from other buildings or places. The Sabbath was considered holy. It was different or set apart from other days. And as Christians, we are called to be holy. So we are called to be different. We are called to be set apart from others, from those that aren't Christians. We're called to live our lives differently than the rest of the world. And we shouldn't just live this way on Sundays. This should be an everyday part of our lives. And when we look at these scriptures, I think it kind of gives us a model of how this works, of how we can become holy. And the first thing I want to point out here is this. I think the first part to being holy is number one, we must realize that we're called. We must realize we're called. In verse 15 it says, "But just as He who called you is holy." That this calling is a call to step out of a life of sin and into a life of holiness. A new life that God has provided for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. You see, this calling, it's God's invitation for all of us to come and to follow Him. To begin to live life differently. And it's understanding that this life can only be found in and through Jesus Christ Himself. You see, we cannot be holy on our own. But as people who are called, we receive His grace and forgiveness upon our lives. And we can begin this journey then of living our lives for Christ, where we start to live holy lives because of Him. And so the first step in living holy lives is saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to His call upon our lives. And then the second thing I want to point out here in these scriptures when it comes to living holy is this, is we must then see things differently. In verse 14 it says, "Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." You see, as Christians, we should no longer live in ignorance. This is why praying and reading our Bibles are so important, because God speaks to us through these things, and He reveals His truth to us through these things, so that we don't have to be ignorant, so that we can know His ways, so that we can know the things that He wants us to know. And when we do, He allows us to actually see things differently, to see things from a different perspective, to see things from His perspective. And as we begin to see things from God's perspective, we begin to see things differently. We begin to understand who God is. We begin to understand His calling upon our lives and why we need to be called. And we begin to then live life differently. We begin to live lives set apart from the rest of the world. And we begin to live out the next point of living holy that I see in these scriptures, which is this: we must walk in obedience. Number three, in verse 14 it says, "As obedient children, do not conform." You see, God calls us to be obedient. He calls us to live a life of obedience to Him and to His Word. And as I was preparing and writing this message out, I couldn't help but think how so many of us struggle with this idea of obedience. As a pastor, I talk to people all the time, people from all different walks of life, from all different opinions and beliefs about God and about life. And I know that many people out there, they struggle with the idea of a God that created us to worship Him. And a God that then calls us to walk in obedience to Him, to live the lives that He is calling us to live. And I realize people struggle with this because it's this aspect of having to begin to see things differently. You see, when we truly understand who God is, when we understand His heart and His love for us, we begin to realize that He isn't this distant, authoritative God that simply seeks power and glory. He is a God that created us for relationship with Him, close, intimate relationship with Him, a God that desires us to delight in our worship and obedience to Him, because then He delights in us. It's this wonderful and beautiful picture of love that our broken and fallen world cannot understand without Him, without Jesus. And this call to obedience is realizing that it's all about love. Because the things He asks of us are really for us, because He loves us and He knows what's best for us. You see, I think it's like the parent who tells their child not to touch the fireplace. Now, they do this because they know what will happen if their child goes and touches the fireplace. Now, that fire, it looks cool, it looks intriguing, and that child wants to go to it. They want to see it, they want to touch it. But the parents, they know the pain and hurt that it will cause their child if they touch the fireplace. You see, God calls us to walk in obedience because He knows the pain and hurt that we will experience in this fallen, broken world if we don't follow His ways. He knows what the sin and brokenness of this world can do to us if we fail to obey. God calls us to live a life of obedience to Him and to His Word because He loves us and He wants what's best for us. And I'm discovering more and more that obedience is what opens the door for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This Holy Spirit power that we talked about last week. And it's the power of this Spirit that allows us to live differently. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to live the holy lives that God is calling us to live. And we're called to live these lives not just on Sundays when we're around other Christians. We're called to live holy lives each and every day. And I want to wrap up this morning with this final thought. The fourth thing I want to say this morning is this. We must live holy and humbly. You see, living holy lives doesn't mean living holier than thou lives. Sometimes as Christians, we can be a little arrogant and even look down upon others as if we have it all together and they're all messed up. As if we're better than them, whoever them are, right? You see, this is the kind of attitude and response that we saw in the scriptures from the Pharisees and religious leaders in the days of Jesus. And that is not what God is desiring of us when He tells us to live holy lives. As a matter of fact, this is exactly opposite of what God desires. In verse 16, it says this, "Be holy because I am holy." You see, God desires that we live out holiness His way through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in a way that puts others down. Not in a way that pushes others away. But in a way that shows His love, His grace, His mercy, in a way that actually draws others closer to Him. As I was praying and thinking about how we live a life of holiness, what does that really look like for us? The Lord kept taking me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:22. Many of you are probably familiar with this section of Scripture. Here's what it says. Let me read it to you. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." It's the fruit of the Spirit. This is the different life that God wants us to be living. One that's filled with love. One that's filled with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because this is who God is. This is who Jesus was. This is the kind of different that doesn't push people away. It's the kind of different that people are actually drawn to. People are actually attracted to these things. The kind of different that leads people to Jesus and extends His kingdom. That's what we're called to do. This is why we should be doing this at home. This is why we should be living holy lives all the time. But here's the thing. We can't fake it. Many of us try to fake this life. And yeah, we may be able to fool people for a while like I did back in high school. But when life gets difficult, and when the pressures of the world begin to press in on us, the real us is what starts to squeeze out. That's what happened when I went into the Marine Corps and the real me started to squeeze out, the me that I didn't like. The question is, what's the real me? Who is the real us? Are we people who are striving to live holy lives? People who are doing our best to walk in obedience and live the life that God has called us to live, who aren't just talking the talk, but that are walking the walk? Or are we just this facade that's putting on the appearance of living this holy life? If we want to be people who truly live holy lives, then we need to be doing it not just on Sundays. We need to be doing it at home. We need to be doing it everywhere, all the time, regardless of who's watching. This Christmas, we had the pleasure of going to Florida for my niece's wedding. It was a wonderful time with my wife's family that we don't get to see very often, and we love it when we do. And it was on this trip that I was talking to my brother-in-law, Kirk, one of Stacy's older brothers. And I was reminded of a video that he sent to us years ago. You see, Kirk is an amazing man with such an amazing heart. And for the last 8 to 10 years, maybe even more, I'm not sure, he's participated in a fundraiser called the Polar Bear Plunge, where every year in the dead of winter, they get sponsors to go and plunge into the icy cold waters of the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. And Kirk is what is known as a super plunger, meaning he plunges in that 30-degree water once an hour for 24 hours. And he every year raises $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for charity as he does it. But one of the years that he did it, he did this video documenting kind of his experience throughout the 24 hours. And at the beginning of the event, it's pretty cool. There are hundreds of people, if not thousands, with news cameras and radio stations, documenting everything. People are celebrating, cheering. You see everybody going out in the water for that time of the hour and dipping in the water and coming out, you know. And the funny thing is a lot of people you see go out there and it's cold. They get their feet and they're like, oh my goodness, and their face. And you can see them like trying to just get down in the water. And some of them just do this little what I call a fake dip. You know, they just kind of go down and where they maybe got to their knees and come up and act like they're all cold and run out of the water, right? But that's not what Kirk did. Every time when Kirk did it, he would go into his head all the way down. Up to his head, and then come out and shake off the water, shivering, and put on a towel, right? But the part that stood out to me in this video was how different the scene was in the middle of the night. You know, what started with hundreds, if not again thousands, I don't know, it was a big group of people, and I haven't seen the video for years, so I can't remember exactly. But what started with this mass group of people was now a small number of people plunging at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. And right before one of the plunges, he's got the camera and it's kind of dark and people are sleeping. And he starts talking about this moment. And he referred to it as the dark side of the moon. And he said it's a time when you just gotta buck up, because nobody's out there cheering for you. There's no press, there's no media, no friends. It's dark, cold, you're tired, but you just got to do it. And Kirk continued to do it. Many people just slept through it. Many people didn't keep doing it. But Kirk continued to plunge. And every time on that video, you would see him fully plunge down and back out. And I remember how watching that video my wife and I, impacted us tremendously. Because the question is, how do we live our lives on the dark side of the moon? How do we live when no one's looking, when no one's there to cheer us on, when no one's there to challenge us? Are we living holy lives for Jesus in those times? Or are we just living? Do we live holy lives for Jesus, or do we live holy lives for people when people are watching? Because the fact is, Jesus is always there. He is always watching, and He is the one we should be living for. And we should seek to be holy because He is holy. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word, and Lord, I know this word is challenging because I know all of us, we struggle at times. How do we live when no one else is watching? How do we live throughout the week versus on Sundays when we're gathered at church with other Christians? And Lord, I know all of us could say we wish we lived perfectly all the time. And we're human and we're going to make mistakes. But Lord, the reality is we should be striving to live the lives that You've called us to live, and not just when others are watching, but all the time, that we should be striving to live these holy lives. And so, Lord, my prayer for us this morning is this, that You would help us to seek You, that You would help us to walk in obedience, that You would help us to allow the power of Your Holy Spirit to give us the strength to begin to live the lives that You've called us to live. I pray that we would realize that You've called us, that we would begin to then see things differently and understand things from a perspective that causes us to desire You more, to love You so much that we want to serve You with all that we are, and we want to delight in the process, Lord. And so, Lord, we just give You this word this morning. We pray that You just speak to each of us where we're at. That's the thing I love so much about who You are, God, that, Lord, we're all on this journey of life. And we're all at different places on this journey, but You are a God that meets each of us where we're at. You don't make all of us come to this point or that point, or You got to get here before I can help You. No, Lord, You meet us right where we're at. And I pray that You would meet us where we're at this morning, and that You would draw us into Your presence to help us to live the holy lives that You have called us to live. And so we thank You for these things. We thank You for Your word. We give them to You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.